Time for a featured speaker before we move on to some more recognition. The gentleman that we're going to have come to the stage is an industry veteran, and he's proof that you don't have to be a certified public accountant or a chief financial officer to succeed in network marketing, but you certainly can be. He's got a business growing globally, and he was instrumental in bringing Heritage Makers, as well as bringing our Memories for Life to Youngevity. I'd like everyone to give a wonderful round of applause to Senior Vice Chairman Marketing Director, Mr. Keith Halls.
Good morning to everyone. How's everybody doing? Very good. It's been a great convention. It's been a lot of fun for me to be here. 31 years ago, almost to the day, my wife wasn't born, don't worry, she's older than that. But 31 years ago, I began in this industry. And I can tell you those have been the greatest 31 years of my life. The first 17 years, I was on the corporate side, and I helped six others, and we built a company that became very successful. And one of the fun things about that is we ended up going public and were able to sell our shares on Wall Street. But after being with them for 17 years, I decided to make a big move. And the big move was to go out in the field and become a distributor. I had a lot of people, thank you. I had a lot of people who were questioning my sanity. Why in the world would I want to get about something like that? And I kept on saying, I don't understand you guys. We preach and teach residual income. Let's go out and earn it for ourselves. And so that's what I made my goals. Not only to earn it for myself, but to teach other people. Now, for some reason, I thought that when I transformed from the corporate side, since I'd done well there, over to the distributor side, it would be easy. I guess I thought people would just like run to my front door and sign up. I'm not sure. But my first nine months were horrible. And I had things happen to me that I'm sure nobody here has ever had happen. Let me give you some examples. I would call someone. And right after I mentioned something about coming to a meeting, I would either hear a click on the other end, or they got off the phone really quickly. I would invite people to my house for meetings and think I was going to have people, and nobody showed up. It's never happened to anyone here, so you can't completely get that, I'm sure. But two times, I flew to cities to go be with and meet someone. Only when I got to those cities, the people said, we don't want to meet with you. And so after 9 months of that, I was ready to leave. In fact, I had already planned my exit, and shortly before I was getting ready to leave, one night I had a very interesting dream, and I woke up the next morning and wrote down 9 rules. And from those 9 rules, I knew that if I would live by and incorporate them into my life, that they would be life-changing. 1 year after writing down those 9 rules, my check went from a couple of $100 a month to, I'll just say, many, many thousands of dollars a month. It was amazing what had happened. And so what I'd like to do today is to share with you 2 of the rules and show you how that by just these 2 rules alone, your group, your team, everything can be transformed. The first rule I want to talk about is doing everything, walking, talking, everything that you can possibly do from the center of your heart. You've got to work from here. Now, when I was failing, and back in those 9 months of failure, I was trying to come up with any plan that I could think of just to get people to listen to me. And one day I came up with an idea that I thought was just absolutely brilliant. I was a distributor in 2003, and I looked back, and back in 7 years before that, in the year 1996, the company that I was part of, we sold 20% of our company for hundreds of millions of dollars. And since there are only seven owners, that was a good day for us. And many, many friends came to me and they said, Keith, if you ever do anything, another business, again in your life, call us first and we'll do it with you. And so in 2003, we had the internet, thanks to Al Gore, and I started calling people. I started emailing people. And from that, it took me nearly a month, but I contacted 200 people. And I asked them, would you and a friend please come and listen? And 200 people RSVP'd to me, yes, they would come. And some of them said they would bring friends, plural. So all of a sudden, 200 became 400. And since they were bringing multiple friends, 500 people. 500 people were going to come. It was so, so amazing. But I knew that I had a little bit of logistical help, or needed logistical help. So I called two members of my upline. Now, at the time, I was living in Utah. My upline, one was living in the northeast part of the United States. One was lived in the northeast part of Canada. My friends who said, the 500 people, they were down in Texas, where I grew up. So we divided it up between three cities, Houston, Texas, Dallas, Austin. And we flew down to go have the meeting and to sign those people up. After 3 days, instead of meeting with 500 people, we actually didn't. In fact, we didn't meet with 200 people. In fact, we didn't meet with 100. In fact, we didn't meet with 50. In fact, we didn't meet with 25. We met with less than 20 people, and of those 20, half of them were already members. After those three meetings, when I drove my upline member, who I had begged to fly down and to help me, as I was driving them back to the airport, that was a very, very tense ride back. There were some very, very angry people. And I can remember, I got to the airport, I dropped them off, and after I dropped them off, I was supposed to go return this little rental car and fly home. But I did something else. I got back into my car, and for some reason, as I got back in, I gripped the steering wheel, and I thought, I can't do this. And I began to cry and cry and cry, until a policeman with one of the mallet things, he came and went bap, bap, bap on the window, said, come on, move it. I thought, heavens, let a guy cry. And instead of driving and returning that car, I drove some extra up miles and I went to my parents' house. And as I pulled up, they had no idea that I'd be coming. But that day, when I walked in that back door and they looked at me, they knew that something was very, very wrong. So they said, Keith, tell us, what's happening? So I explained to them my 9 months of rejection, my 9 months of humiliation, my 9 months of failure, my 9 months of yada, yada, yada. And after I was done, I simply said, can I go back to my old bedroom and just take a nap? And they said, sure. And as I was walking back, my mother said, Keith, yes? Would you mind if I called some of my friends to come hear you? And I said, no. No, 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 Mom, no. I don't want you to have to go through what I've been going through. No, 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 please don't. And I walked back to the bedroom, fell asleep. About an hour and a half later, I got a knock on my old bedroom door. It was my mother saying, Keith, yes, there's some people here I've got put together. They're ready to listen to you. Thank you. So I quickly got dressed, went out in the other room, and there in my mother's living room were about 20 to 25 ladies. The youngest was about 70, the oldest was about 85. Now, I started to set up my equipment so that I could do a presentation. I had my computer, I had my projector, and as I was setting it up, I made a really stupid remark at the beginning. I said, how many of you, you wonderful ladies, would like to earn some long-term residual income? They told me they just wanted a few more days in their life, okay? Anyway, I started my presentation. I turned off the light, and after I turned off that light, and I had been talking for about 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes, I heard a sound, a very soothing sound. The sound was simply... I was the cure for insomnia. It was horrible. And then my mother did something like she usually did that changed my life. This was back in the days when you weren't supposed to like just run and unplug a computer, which she did, and unplug a projector because bulbs would go boom and things like that, but she did it. And then she turned on the light, and with all that commotion, these ladies jumped up in their seat. And she put a chair in the front of the room and she said, Keith, tell these ladies what you told me. And for the first time in that 9-month period, I spoke to those ladies from the center of my heart. Thank you. Every one of those 20, 25 ladies that day either signed up or bought product. Guys, I promise you, that rule will always work. Remember, everything you do, do from right in the center of your heart. Now, the second rule that I'm going to share with you today is one that, please forgive me, I drink legal things a lot. Let's leave there. Rule number 8. Be nice, be kind, and love and help each other. And some people have said to me, that's crazy. That's not a rule of success. I said, for heaven's sakes, I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest rules for success. In 1989, when I was still on the corporate side, I was I had a health problem that began. And what it was the doctors found that I had 2 tumors. And they told me that they were going to, 2 tumors in my head, I should say. I know you're probably wondering if I have anything in there, but they said, we need to operate immediately. And I said, can I have 4 days to get ready? And in those 4 days, I went and I talked to the people at work. I had no idea if I would be gone for a month, 2 months, a year. Forever. I started giving out assignments, and as I did, people were saying, well, what's going on? So I explained it. Word spread through our little community, and lots of people came to my house or to my office and wished me well. There was one person, though, who hadn't come by, and he was one of my very, very best friends. He was a mentor of mine back in a former life when I was an accountant. And I really, really respected this guy. And we did a lot of things together. He had never come by to talk to me. The day before the operation, as I was packing everything up to get ready just to leave the office, my friend walked in, and for a few awkward moments, he said, well, Keith, I really wish you well. Hope things go okay, yada, yada. And I said, well, thank you. But with that, he walked out the door, and the door shut. But I noticed as the door was shutting, I noticed that he turned to the left. And that was something important. The reason is there was only one office to the left, and that was the office of the chairman. And I thought, oh, what in the world would he want with the chairman? So I got up from behind my desk, I walked over to go tell my best friend, no, you need to go to the right to catch the elevator, only to see him walking into the office of the chairman to apply for my job. I sat there. I was crushed deep inside. How in the world? After the operation was over, some 2 months later, and it was very, very successful. The only thing that I had some problems with for a while was communicating, speaking. But I spoke with the chairman for my first time I went back. I shouldn't say spoke. I communicated with the chairman when I first got back. And the first thing I went to him was I said, "Blake, why? Why didn't you hire this friend of mine?" And Blake, we had to do messages of typing and writing back and forth to each other. But he said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, why didn't you hire him?" Or wrote what? Yeah, we communicated. "Why didn't you hire him?" He said, "Sit down." He said, "When we first began this company, Keith, we had to look for people that not only that we could trust and that we liked being around, but we were looking for people that if we gave out an assignment, they wouldn't say, 'Well, I don't want to do that assignment,' or 'Will you pay me overtime,' or things like that." He said, "We knew that if we gave you an assignment, just like the other partners, that they would do it and they wouldn't complain. And usually an assignment would take all night long." And he said, "Every time we did that, Keith, you smiled. You smiled back at us. We loved that." And I said, you made me a partner because I smiled?" And he goes, "Well, you had some intelligence, okay? But the biggest thing is you smiled." And I walked out of his office that day thinking, holy crud. I made millions of dollars in my life from a simple act of kindness, a smile. When my wife and I first got married, she taught me something. It was very important. And I try to do this every night. Of course, I can't. But what I do is I put a pad of paper and a pen right by my bed. And every morning when I wake up, I write down 5 different things that I can either do for my wife or one of my children that will make their day a little bit happier, a little bit brighter. Maybe it's washing dishes. Maybe it's washing clothes. I don't care. I write down 5 things that I'm going to do for my wife or my children. And I also write down 5 things that I will do for people in my team, for other people that I know. I'll give people calls because sometimes people need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes people need a phone call to congratulate them. But I started doing that many years ago, and it has completely blown me away because people have, they think I'm being this super, super nice guy. Don't get me wrong, I'm trying to. But my wife taught me that simple little habit. Thank you. In conclusion, I'm going to say just 2 really quick things. The first, we are involved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are involved in the greatest industry in the world today. There's no doubt. Number 2, we are involved in and with the greatest company in the greatest industry in the world today. And with that, I say thank you. I wish you all the very best. Have a great, great, successful year. Thank you very much.